Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. On the schedule today, we'll talk about the big Super Bowl win for the Eagles. We'll also dip into the NBA trade deadline. Interesting day for the Cavs and a little bit of basketball action from last night. We'll continue our newest segment, the Electric Moment of the Week, and Mike Garofa will chime in with, of course, some baseball news. We are ready, and let's do it. Colts Corner podcast from the gym here as we are getting ready for our live broadcast of the Samantha Hinkie 1,000 Point Night. I'm Douglas Satuca alongside Matty Ice, Benjamin Dixon, and Brian Flatow. What a week, what a day it has been in sports.
I'm checking my phone all day. Well, first of all, great to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to
course,
be here.
Of course.
Love the podcast. love you all. Yeah, huge day in sports. You know, the three trades the Cavs made today, even one more that the Knicks threw in there. It's been a wild day for the trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure. And you want to talk about the Super Bowl first. Got the Eagles with that 41-33 win over the Patriots. I was one of the happy Jets fans after that game, and one of the happy football fans after that game, to be honest. Besides, if you're not a fan of an NFC East team, you got to be happy the Patriots went down.
Yeah, it actually poses a decent question. Can this be the beginning of the end of the era? You know, Brady's 40. He's going to be 41 next year. There's been talks of disunity within that franchise, despite Josh McDaniels coming back, which still seems a little fishing to me.
Yeah.
Being so set on leaving and then coming back immediately. I don't know. If you look at it, it might be. It might be, this could be it.
Yeah, well, by the way, I hate that move by McDaniels. You can't just, I'm almost positive he was taking assistance with him, and he just left them.
And they've already signed.
Yeah.
They've already been hired as coaches.
Yeah,
so now Indianapolis is stuck with those assistants. I mean, I believe the coaches are going to stay there. So now they're stuck with those assistants, and Josh McDaniels is going to stay in New England, which I believe he will become the next head coach of the Patriots.
And Belichick said that too.
Yeah.
Or didn't exactly say that, but he said he would be planning to give him the ins and outs of the franchise, how he runs this team, and that's pretty significant to me, honestly.
Yeah,
that kind of signifies that Belichick is winding down. Maybe he's going to retire soon. Maybe he's going to go somewhere else soon. Something's going on there that we don't know.
You know, I think the Colts are in a better spot than people think they are. They got Ballard, who's a fantastic general manager. They have Andrew Luck, who's coming back, and they have the third pick in the draft, who I'm hoping that they draft Saquon Barkley, making them one of the best teams in the AFC South and the AFC as a whole. So, also back to your previous question about the end of the Patriots, I think it is the beginning of the end. You have Matt Patricia leaving, taking the head coach of Detroit Lions. Belichick is obviously also going to leave soon, and Josh McDaniels hasn't proven himself as a head coach yet, no matter how good of a coordinator he is. As to pull up a quote from Colin Cowherd here, my boy, he says that that closeness to success does not make you successful yourself. Being around success does not make you successful, and Josh McDaniels has to prove himself.
You know, if he has proved anything to me, it's in that time in Denver, it's that I don't think he can be a head coach. I don't think he's a good one at all, and I think he would have failed in Indianapolis. This is a lot of what ifs right now, and he could have improved since then, since his time in Denver. But I didn't think he was going to be successful in Indianapolis. But so I think Indianapolis actually went out. Back on what you said with Indianapolis, though, they're not going to draft Barkley, and they aren't a decent spot though. When you have Andrew Luck, anything could happen.
Yeah. Well, with your question about the Patriots, is it the end? See, that was my initial reaction because, you know, old Brady. Rumors of the struggle for power within the franchise. That was obviously my initial reaction, but as a Jets fan, you know how mediocre the AFC East is. And for the Patriots, I think it helped them get the Super Bowl this year that they have six easy games against the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets. Those are five or six wins per year. So if those are still there next year, I can't see them at least not going back to the AFC Championship.
Well, you know,
if everyone returns.
Right, but what I have to say is that those games, they help you in the regular season. And I'm not denying that the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. And I'm not denying that this season they're going to win the AFCs. Because they're probably going to do that. But
Go Jets, go.
This is our confidence level. But I don't believe that they'll be able to get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, they definitely can. What I'm trying to say is that I don't believe that those games in the regular season help them get to the Super Bowl. It certainly helps them get into the playoffs, but I don't believe that those games against relatively easy opponents help them necessarily get into the Super Bowl.
So, let's go back to the Colts. So Colts, they have Andrew Luck and Brissett. They've got to make a decision. One of them is going to be a starting quarterback. They're both going to be a starting quarterback in the league next year, I believe. One of them is going to get traded.
Right,
one of them, yeah, they've got to be. Come on, Brissett had a real starter. Brissett was real solid with that offensive line. That was,
I agree.
One of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen.
Could be good somewhere.
I don't think it's a guarantee that
he has a starting job this season.
Second, Josh McDaniels. I hate the move. That's ridiculous. You can't be 99% in. And say you're in.
Oh, he was 100%
throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
And just back out. I understand.
And you spoke of taking the job too.
I understand you spoke with Belichick and Kraft, but I didn't like that. I thought that was a little sneaky by him. Super Bowl wise, Patriots. I'm a Steeler fan.
We have six championships.
The most in the six Super Bowls. The most in the NFL.
Congrats.
I can relate to a Patriot fan. Here's why. Everybody hates us with a passion. When we're in a playoff game, everybody is rooting against us to win.
Because you're obnoxious.
Am I obnoxious?
No,
I have not been obnoxious on this podcast one time about the Steelers. Thank you.
Steelers are obnoxious.
Let me speak. Thank you.
Doug.
So, I understand where it's coming from, and I felt some empathy, actually, for some of the Patriot fans. Not for the loss. Just throughout the game, the nagging in the group chats, Twitter, everything just completely against the Patriots. And I could just relate to it because I've seen it happen. Everybody against, it's like you against the world. And that's why I ended up really rooting for the Patriots. I was at a Patriot fan's house and I was
How do you root for the Patriots?
I was there 2 years ago when they beat Atlanta. So I was considered a good luck charm for the guys. So I don't like to see guys that I like lose, and I think, I mean, I really, they've won enough, honestly. The Patriots have won enough, so I don't really care about the loss. I'm actually happy that the Eagles won. I said it on the podcast a week ago. I wanted them to get their first Super Bowl, so I'm happy about that. I just was talking about throughout the game and leading up how everyone was completely against the Pats. I could just relate easily to that. So that was my take. Matty Gold, of course, has to have his say in on it. Because Matty Ice has seniority over everybody else, of course.
Well, seniority means senioritis.
Well, if I recall correctly, I feel
he has seniority because he's a senior, but he also has senioritis because he's beginning to lose his touch in this world.
Lose the touch.
I remember that I was the only one on the podcast who picked the Eagles to win, if I recall correctly.
And so
you also picked against the Patriots every single game during the postseason. So
not against the Titans.
Congratulations. You picked the Patriots over the Titans.
I did. I did indeed.
Once again, like I said before the podcast, you truly deserve a medal.
I know. Thank you.
Can we dive into the little Eagles talk? We've talked a lot of Pats. Let's talk about the team that really overcame adversity and shocked the world.
What a great story. Go ahead.
The thing with Nick Foles is Nick Foles, in my opinion, has the most absurd story in sports history. The guy had one of the best seasons in NFL history statistically in 2013 with the Eagles. Then the Eagles basically got rid of him. They were like, we don't want you anymore. So before he moved on to the Rams, he was considering retiring from football and becoming a pastor. And that's really one crazy thing there. And he lost his love for the game. Rams gave him a call. He was back with Jeff Fisher.
On the horizontal offense.
Him and Case Keenum on the same team, and he started a few games there. Obviously didn't turn out well for him there, and so the Eagles brought him back, 2-year deal. Going to be a backup with Carson Wentz, and he knew even if he wins a Super Bowl this year, which he did, still going to be a backup. So he came in with 2 or 3 weeks left in the regular season. Really wasn't great in the regular season. Playoffs, he went from a game manager against Atlanta to having a very good game against Minnesota to playing one of the best games we've ever seen in Super Bowl history as a quarterback. And I just want to say kudos to him for handling all this the way he has, even knowing he is probably going to be the backup for the Philadelphia Eagles next year.
I'm so happy that he caught the ball and Tom Brady didn't. I don't know if you saw Antonio Brown's Instagram post that says...
I did see that.
Yes, I did. I did.
If Tom Brady wants to come with him in the offseason to train, he's open to it.
Can we just consider this? If we're going to go Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Nick Foles, and Carson Wentz, I'm going to say, I'd like to say four out of those four guys are definitely should be starting quarterbacks in the league next year. If you consider the amount of, they're not even mediocre, below average quarterbacks in the league starting, there's a large amount there. There's like 5 to 6 spots available right now that if you put a mediocre to good, decent quarterback in that mix, you're looking at a contender.
Exactly.
Like Denver.
Or like, well, they were a contender this year, but a serious contender in Jacksonville.
Exactly. Well, they want to keep Bortles. That's the report.
Well, Bortles had a great postseason.
Yeah.
Also, but the thing we were saying, we've been saying it on the podcast for weeks now, is about the parity in the NFL. I think that the talent is at a low. Brian thinks that it's at a high. We'll differ with that. It's whatever it is, this parity in the NFL, it's unarguable. And you see these guys coming in, playing quarterback, and performing well above expectations. And it just proves there are a lot of guys who deserve starting jobs or can compete for starting jobs in the NFL. And we may be seeing that with, like Doug said, with Brissett, Nick Foles soon. We'll see.
It's just interesting when you look at a team at the end of the year and you look at the guys who are backups in the league. You had Deshaun Kizer starting a quarterback for the Brownies. The Brownies.
I like it.
He was a complete failure. Utter failure. They are in the mix for a quarterback, and that's one of the teams that really could be looking for one of these guys to fill in. You're also thinking about Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford, who are all three guys. So you got Teddy, Bradford, and who's the other Minnesota guy?
Keenum.
You just listed all
I
three.
I did, right?
You just listed all
Keenum,
three.
I'm sorry. I was thinking Rams, Keenum. Sorry. So you got three guys who have starter talent. It's Bridgewater a little rare. Sorry.
Are you okay?
New to the mix. Undeveloped.
All right, Doug. Let me take over.
You searching for a word here?
Teddy has not proven himself yet. Correct.
No, Teddy's unproven.
And he's coming off a brutal knee injury.
He's the one coming off.
So there's three quarterbacks right there on the same team that could potentially be starting quarterbacks.
All of them are free agents, though.
Correct. So there's a lot of talent this year at the quarterback position and in the draft. There are potentially four guys.
Yeah.
So the quarterback position is really stockpiled this offseason. And honestly, if a team in the NFL doesn't have a decent starting quarterback by the beginning of the year, it's a complete failure.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
In my mind, what I see this NFL season, this upcoming one and the one that we just finished and maybe even the one before that, it seems to me like we're getting toward a complete upheaval kind of in the quarterbacks, in the most important position in the NFL, because you have Tom Brady who's getting older, you have Ben Roethlisberger getting older, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning retired, Drew Brees is getting older now, and these are the guys that have been great for so, so long. And now you're going to see maybe the Steelers draft a quarterback.
Rooney said that Ben Roethlisberger wants to play 2 years beyond his contract.
But we'll see about
maybe
that.
Maybe even beyond 2019. But then
there's also the Giants who want to draft the quarterback, and there's all these teams, and there's talk of the Saints doing it, and there's all these teams, and there's also a lot of quarterbacks in this NFL that are sitting in backup spots right now. You have Nick Foles who could start somewhere clearly, which won a Super Bowl. You have Case Keenum, who I think is going to be the starting quarterback of the Vikings next year.
Oh, yeah.
But then that's not fair to Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who definitely should be a starter somewhere. So, like you said, there's just so many quarterbacks in this league, and there's so much talent in this draft, too. Four quarterbacks might go within the top 13 or around there. It's pretty crazy right now if you look at it. It's honestly, we're seeing a transformation right before our eyes.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to chip in one thing now that the NBA trade line has ended. Wojbaum, ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, tweeted that the Clippers have no trade for DeAndre Jordan. So there was a lot of speculation about that one potentially coming to the Cavaliers. He will not be going anywhere. He'll be staying put in L.A.
Correct.
I just wanted to chime in earlier saying
Talk about the Butler, please.
Well, first, just to Brian's point, I don't think that Case Keenum is going to be starting next year for the Vikings, only because I don't think...
But do you think he's going to be starting anywhere? Or do you think they're going to resign? Because they have the three quarterbacks who are free agents, and two of them they're going to resign. So which one are they going to let go? Is it him?
I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to end up being the starter because he's just, even though he's unproven, they invested a high draft pick in him. They're dedicated to him. They put him in. All the guys love him. You saw the reaction when he came back onto the field. They want him back. Mm. I think he's going to be the starter if he can come back from the injury.
I don't know, man.
But all the guys love Case Keenum.
I don't know about that.
And
Case Keenum,
Teddy Bridgewater was inactive for the NFC Championship.
Of course,
you can't tell me that after the Minneapolis Miracle when Case Keenum was doing the skull chant on the field that everybody didn't absolutely love him and want him for the future.
I'm not saying that. So, but he's also shown that in his time that even though he had undeniably had a great season, he's still a backup, in my opinion. A backup. Mm-hmm. He's one of the better backups.
That's weird.
And it's an important position that you need to have. But I don't think Case, at this point in time, has proven himself to be a starter. That's just my opinion.
The one thing I wouldn't be surprised about, and this is kind of out there, actually. You know, Pat Shurmur went to the Giants. The Giants are looking for a quarterback.
Oh,
what if he teamed up with one of those three guys there?
Definitely.
Draft the guy.
That they let them go. You know, because they could draft Saquon Barkley then. And then... bring in Case Keenum, bring in Sam Bradford, or even Teddy Bridgewater. You know, Pat Shurmur loved all three of those guys. So he's going to be running his offense here that Case Keenum was so successful in. So that you might see something like that too. That's just another.
They could also look for Saquon Barkley, as you're saying. They could also go another direction. But you can go away from the quarterback position top rounds and find that diamond in the rough, maybe like a Dak Prescott late, who you want to develop. Because if you still have Eli there, which we're kind of forgetting, and he's still a pretty solid quarterback.
I would consider Eli Manning perfectly acceptable right now.
Yeah,
at the quarter,
totally.
Like, he could take that team anywhere. I think he could take that team anywhere.
So a losing record.
Yeah, there are definitely some teams in the look for quarterbacks. One quarterback who will not be available during free agency, Jimmy Garoppolo, who just signed a record contract deal to become the franchise quarterback in San Francisco.
And the highest paid NFL player of all time after playing five games?
Five starts.
But you know what? I'm not even gonna blame San Francisco for doing this, because usually when I see a guy who's played five games get signed the biggest deal in history.
He's played three games on the Patriots and went 3-0.
I'm not counting those. Those were in Brady suspension. I'm talking about the Niners. Well, usually when I see a guy who had five starts in a season right now, and now they're going to sign him as the big dude, I'm going to be skeptical. But what I saw from Jimmy G was I saw a quarterback who's going to be the guy of the future, another one of those guys that's going to start the upheaval of the NFL quarterback position.
So that is your Super Bowl right there,
yeah,
in a nutshell, and some more intake on the quarterback position. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA deadline. Really, I couldn't focus in school. I just kept getting alerts. We know. You're already in. You're done.
We told you. Senioritis.
Senioritis has gotten you real bad. So
not real bad.
I couldn't focus. I just kept getting alerts on trades, and all I saw was the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And you look
they're wild today.
Three different trades.
Did they get better, in your opinion?
Let's go through them, and then we'll discuss. The first trade with the Lakers, blockbuster, IT, Channing Frye, and 2018 first-round pick. Wasn't the Brooklyn pick. So that'll most likely be a late first-rounder, depending on the how Cavs finished the season, and they got Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance from that trade, so they got younger and more athletic, better defensively. And then three-team blockbuster, they got rid of Iman Shumpert, they sent him to the Kings, and they sent Derrick Rose and Jay Crowder to the Jazz. Derrick Rose will be cut, by the way.
Timberwolves do like him.
And the Cavs get George Hill, they get their point guard, and Rodney Hood, who's a great young player out of Duke. And the final trade, Cavs didn't really get a huge return. They got a second-round pick, but the big story here is obviously Dwayne Wade is coming home to Miami. And you know what? Good for him. There was a report that the Cavs did go to LeBron before the trade. He did approve. And Dwayne Wade obviously spent the majority of his career in Miami. That's where his home is. So good for him. Happy for D-Wade.
And they're a playoff team.
He's a good guy. He deserves it.
He's a playoff team.
Yeah, well, the Eastern Conference is wide open. So,
you know, I'm sorry, Ben. I missed the first part of that. Did you say they got better or worse, the Cavs? From these trades today?
From these trades? I mean, it's a lot to take in.
It is. And I think Rodney Hood's a great player.
I think Isaiah Thomas has been a better player recently than George Hill. But George Hill has been much more consistent as of late. Nothing with the hip injury like Isaiah Thomas had held him back from consistent production. So you get your consistent point guard in George Hill. Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, when I first saw that trade with the Lakers, I was like, wow, the Lakers just absolutely demolished the Cavs in this trade. But then I saw some more takes coming in about it. I looked at it hard, and I was thinking, the Cavs got Clarkson and Nance, two young players.
Yeah.
Clarkson can really score. They're both very athletic. Larry Nance, by the way, that's my dunk contest pick. And they also got better defensively, which is a huge boost for the Cavs, who haven't been playing any defense this season.
If you think about it, I like they won player-wise in the first deal. Clarkson and Nance will really improve that team. The Cavs went from having D-Rose and IT at your point guard. IT really struggled, and he needed a change. He needed to get out of Cleveland. It just didn't work from the start. You're getting traded practically for Kyrie Irving, and it's just a big shoes to fill. So you go from IT and D-Rose, who is half a guy, literally.
He's lost
leaving the team, injured, all this, to George Hill and Clarkson now as your point guards, as your team, as your leaders here on the court. So I think they really improved there. If we'll look at the list, out in Cleveland, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder, Shumpert, Fry, and their own first rounder. In is Clarkson, Lance, George Hill, Rodney Hood, who's a good player, and a protected second round pick. So they gave up a lot of big names. You've heard these guys around, but some of these, it just wasn't working. So the Cavs are thinking, let's get a little shake up. Let's improve our starting team. Let's get some guys who can handle the basketball up top, can make some plays and score the ball. And I want to say Cleveland, it's real tough. I have to really evaluate and see how these guys play, but it looks like they've got a chance to win it. They've got a chance to win because they needed a new culture in there.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Thank you. Just one point I want to bring up. If I'm LeBron right now, because whenever you talk about the Cavs, you starts and ends with LeBron James. If I'm LeBron James, who's already contemplating leaving, who many speculate that he is going to leave, I am very confused right now at what's happening. You thought after this Kyrie Irving trade that him and the managers in front office of that team were going to get the players that they wanted, and they didn't, and it hasn't worked out. And as we know, LeBron doesn't want to play with rookies. His time's running out to win championships. He's made it clear that he wants to be better than Michael Jordan in the eyes of the viewers. So I'm very confused at how come all of this wasn't settled before the season even started, and now it might be too late, and they gave away practically their entire team, who they brought in the first place to try to make a championship run.
LeBron is not shocked by any stretch. LeBron definitely played a major part in these trades.
No, I'm not saying he's shocked by the trades. If I'm LeBron...
Shocked at what happened? Is that what you're saying?
I would be upset if I was LeBron James at the way that the team, the focus that it has gone, and the way that those players didn't work out. They brought in Jay Crowder to be better defensively, and IT as a point guard just didn't work out. So these were moves that should have been fixed already, and now they are scrambling at the deadline to try to please LeBron to make him there. And even though, of course, he was involved in all of these decisions, I'm sure he's not happy at how it's turned out.
Well, they got IT. They wanted IT at the beginning. LeBron obviously has said, he said he wasn't too happy with some of the moves and the team that he had right now. But they wanted IT, and they knew Kyrie was out. Kyrie and LeBron had a toxic relationship. So Kyrie was out.
Here's what I think. I think that I personally believe that Isaiah Thomas, despite his defensive struggles and problems with the Cavs, there's not enough sample size with him on the Cavs, I think.
I agree.
He was there for a month. He's still a little injured.
Come on.
I think
he's
if
not
they
100%.
Give him, I think if they give him more time, I think I strongly disagreed with that trade. I like the Rodney Hood trade. I like going out and getting him. I think he's a real good player, but I really don't think that they gave Isaiah Thomas enough time. I think he's a star in this league. He was one of the best players. He was one of the best point guards in the league last year. They gave up on him way too early. He was still not 100%, and I think if you give it another month, the Cavs were gonna figure this out.
I mean, that may have happened, but the thing with IT, I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah,
he was living the life in Boston. Boston loved him. Even after you saw after the tragedy with his sister, Boston was all behind him, and then they just traded him. And I think, personally, I hope it isn't, but it may be the downfall of his career. I hope he revives himself in Los Angeles. But he comes to Cleveland. He's really not playing well, and this was his contract year for Isaiah. The guy averaged 29 points per game last year and was finished fifth in MVP voting, I believe. So if he had a great year this year, he was going to get that big mega contract for hundreds of millions of dollars, which the Westbrooks got, the Currys got, the LeBrons
get. He can't
get.
Play defense like those guys can. He can't.
I mean, he can't. Well, yeah, so he didn't perform well, and he obviously didn't fit in Cleveland. Like Brian said, yeah. Short sample size, would have liked to see more, but I wish good luck to him in L.A. I really hope he revives his career out there.
It's also just big shoes to fill. You're coming in for Kyrie Irving, and you get off to a tough start, not 100%. I just don't think he had enough time in Cleveland.
Right, getting off to a tough start, there's a difference between that and actually having a tough full season.
Correct, exactly. So just wanted to shout this out quick. Olympics, I believe they started last night with a couple events. Tonight, more events and the opening ceremonies.
No, they start tonight.
Tonight,
no,
correct.
There were a couple events last night.
There were events last night.
Doubles
due to the time difference.
I think they debut that something. Like that.
But
yeah.
Thursday tonight, I believe at 8 is the opening ceremony.
Yes,
correct.
I thought tomorrow's the opening ceremony.
No, tonight it starts February 8th to February 25th.
They're airing it tomorrow night, Mr. Ricciuti says.
Yeah, they're airing it tomorrow.
Okay, night. They're airing the opening ceremonies tomorrow night. Okay.
Right, and there's figure skating tonight.
I will be watching. Duke
so just
UNC.
Wanted to shout that out, USA. Let's get it, boys. Let's get the medals.
It's time for all that patriotism, nationalism to come right out because we love this. We love the Olympics.
Okay, so electric moment of the week. I think we're just gonna
unanimously agree.
Just give it the electric moment of the week by the group.
Eagles.
Since we're running a little low on time here.
It's the Eagles.
Eagles.
You know,
winning the Super Bowl, beating a dynasty. Maybe ending the dynasty.
We've
talked about it. We just wanted to get our electric moment of the week in there. Thank you, Garafa. That was a very loud lightning strike. Love it. I do have to say one thing on my friend Keshav Khanna. He is a member of the Varsity Club. They're hosting a dodgeball tournament on March 1st in the gym. All money raised is going to Cody Burns Foundation. Rally up teams of 8, 4 girls and 4 boys, and come and show your support for this great cause. That is March 1st, dodgeball tournament, $10 a person. All money goes to the Cody Burns Foundation, and drinks will be provided. So sign up and help support.
Very excited. Definitely will be in attendance.
Great cause.
All right, so I think we got to cut it a little short today. Garafa, you'll get in there on the broadcast, I'm sure.
Garafa,
you want
to just talk a little Toddy. You want to talk a little Toddy Frazier. So do it, baby. Do it.
All right, so first of all, got my notes here. Todd Frazier, big signing for the Mets, getting Frazier for 2 years, $17 million. It really helps develop this team. I mean, the depth is growing a lot. I mean, the infield, you've got Adrian Gonzalez, Ezreal Cabrera at second, Ahmed Rosario at short, and now Frazier at third. The team's lineup right now, you've got 4 guys who can really hit a lot of home runs in Bruce, Conforto, Cespedes, and now Frazier. I really like it. I think it'll work. And also something that I realize is that Frazier and Bruce were former teammates in Cincinnati, which I think could work out really well. If you guys want to pitch in, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a fan of this Mets roster right now. They've done some good things in this offseason. I like Jay Bruce. I actually like the move that they made with Gonzalez, and I like the Todd Frazier move. He only hit 210 last year, but he's a power hitter, and that was a little bit of a down year. I mean, we know he's a good player in this league, and I like what they did.
Yeah, good clubhouse guy, great leadership. I think he'll add a nice element to the New York Mets. Of course, their pitching is great. I think they'll have a much, much better season than last year. I think it was a pretty solid signing for them. Their infield is practically
just
set.
Just have one question for Brian. What do you think we're going to do with the thumbs down thing?
The thumbs down thing?
It's not coming to the Mets. No,
it better not.
There's no chance.
It better not.
I don't want to come. Do you think they'll make it a thumbs up, maybe?
No.
Maybe they could do a thumbs up, but I'm not
sideways thumb.
Sideways thumb. All right, we're good.
Let's not associate ourselves with the Yankees.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right.
Thank you, Mike Garafa. Just again, charity dodgeball tournament. All money goes to Cody Burns Foundation. Checks are payable to Hills West Varsity Club. and see Mr. Cassio in room 233. So broadcast at 4 o'clock today on West TV, girls basketball, Samantha Hinkie, 1,000-point night. Benjamin.
All right, so as that'll do it for us today. As always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ricciuti, Dr. Catapano, and the administration, the Board of Education. Our audience listens every Thursday. Today's producers, Garofa and Pooj. Thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Douglas Satuka, Matthew Gold, and Brian Flattap. We will see you next week.